Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Cheers, mate. What a great start to the journey. What do they say here?
I can't really tell you because I've got a mouthful of shortbread.
What do they say? Cheers? They don't say cheers, do they?
They say cheers. Oh, yeah.
I was like, whatever they say in New Zealand.
And hey, listen, I'm super impressed at the stuff you brought with you. I'm trying a square one now.
Oh, we've just done some incredible stuff.
We did.
The zip line was definitely a good way to start it off.
That's a warm up, mate.
That was a warm up. Great white sharks. Pretty bracing.
But it's all a blur to me, frankly. I was just relieved that we got to the end of it. Taking you to Milford Sound. Truly incredible.
It's magical.
Love that place so much. Well, I'm really glad I got to show it to you.
Pretty epic.
This is going to be great.
Oh my God.
Really?
From Providence, Rhode Island, in the Minute with Mary studio, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And welcome to some men in kilts.
Oh my goodness. You cannot be a fan of the show Outlander and not watch Men in Kilts. Like, I just think that it is peanut butter and jelly. It is the peanut butter to the fluffernutter. It is.
Sure.
The peanut butter to the Nutella.
Maybe it's the bread. Could it be the bread? Well, what's more important in that kind of sandwich? Is the bread more important or is the filling more important?
The filling.
Really?
I would prefer to eat the filling over the bread. Like, if you gave me a scoop of peanut butter and Nutella, I would eat that over a piece of just plain bread.
Well, but I see the thing is, the vehicle for the peanut butter
could
and the Nutella,
spoon.
If you have bad bread, it ruins the peanut butter and the Nutella.
Yeah, so that's...
I feel like the peanut butter and Nutella are good on itself.
That's what I'm saying. Those are what are more important.
But that's what I'm saying, because that's why the bread's more important, because you can have peanut butter and Nutella by itself, but if you got good bread with it, it takes it to a whole nother level.
However, you could have peanut butter and Nutella by themselves, but having just bread by itself, not as fun. Unless it's really good
but
bread.
We're talking about the combination of the overall.
I mean, this is what it comes down to. Would you prefer just Sam? Would you prefer just Graham? Or would ideal bread and ideal peanut butter and Nutella be just the most perfect sandwich?
I'm definitely
of your
life. More of a Graham guy.
We know. We know you
and this,
are.
And this episode absolutely confirmed it for me.
How many times are you sitting there saying, oh, this is my life.
Yes,
this is my life.
That is my life.
Well, hi, everybody. Well, as you can tell, this is not your usual episode of Outlander Cast. We are going to be covering all four episodes of season two of Men in Kilts. As I said earlier, if you're a fan of Outlander, you're probably also a fan of this deliciously delightful extra little show that we get with two of our favorite actors. Before we get into the rest of this, though, we wanted to let you know that you can subscribe to this podcast. If you're watching it on YouTube, Facebook, anywhere like that, it actually is an audio-based podcast, and you can find that in your podcatcher of choice just by searching Outlander Cast. And you can also find myself and Blake on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all just by searching Mary and Blake.
Yes.
That's all you got to do. Search Mary Ann Blake. I was actually telling my hairstylist today because she cut my hair earlier today. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, how do I find your podcast? And I said, just Google Mary Ann Blake. Like, that, it should be that simple at this point because we've been doing this for nearly a decade now. If you search Mary Ann Blake, you'll be able to find us.
If the SEO hasn't kicked in by now,
seriously, it ain't ever going to kick wrong. In. And you also, you can head to jointhenerdclan.com and become official Nerd Clan member. Get all the great benefits, including bonus episodes, premium podcasts that just keep Common Crown on, which is based upon the show The Crown on Netflix, and of course Blake's Book Club. We are approaching a new goal where we're super excited for our podcast listeners. And those of you listening, the t-shirts are making their way to Blake and I. It's taken a little while to get our Michael Mouse shirts, but they are en route. We had promised that to many of our jointhenerdclan.com members at a previous goal. So thank you, and thank you for your patience, as it is just taking time for these wee little shirts to make their way. All right, on that note, let's get into the show.
Well, before we do that, make sure you do contact us, like you said, Mary, by searching Mary Ann Blake, and let us know what's more important, the bread or the filling. It's got to be the bread. The bread is the essential character to that creation.
I am totally fine having a spoon with peanut butter.
Nope. Can't do it. I won't allow that in this house.
I mean, that's good for you.
All right, let's get into the show. By the way, we can go back to using our regular music now because they finally released the song publicly. Here we go.
Hey there, McCreary. Get it. Get those royalties. Let's do it. All right, Blake. There's some fun facts that you like to usually do in the beginning of our podcast episode, including the episode title.
Yeah, well, I mean, the facts for this one are kind of irrelevant because, like, whoever directs it and writes it, whatever, mm-hmm. it's not really that kind of show. However, it is the title is called The Scottish Influence, and I just realized that on our lower third, I have the wrong title.
I was thinking it was called Adrenaline Country as well, so it is okay.
But you know what? I will.
That's where my head.
Whatever.
Was at
you
too.
Know, it's either Scottish Influence or Adrenaline Country. Either one. Those are the titles, and that'll be that. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, great. So, I don't know why there's like two different names for this.
Maybe there's the nickname and then the official name.
Sure. Stats for nerds. We already know that.
Let us know, because he goes, Adrenaline Country. And that's how we all remember this episode.
Yes.
Not necessarily Scottish Influence. So I'm here for Adrenaline Country being the correct one.
All right. So, Marvin, are we going to do like the kilt ratings and the GBGs and all that other stuff?
Did we do kilt ratings for the first season?
I think we did. I would
assume we do, because we do ratings on every single show.
Yeah. So, like, what do you want to do? How do you want to handle this?
We could still do kilts.
You want to do kilts?
We could do drams. Didn't we do drams?
I don't know, but you know what? Let's make the official nerd vote right now. Drams or kilts?
You can look in your Google Drive.
I did. It says kilts, but you want to switch it? Is that the official nerd move?
Let's do it.
Okay, there it is.
Let's do it. I'm not the president of Mary Ann Blake Media for nothing. How many drams?
All right. Dram rating. How many drams are you giving this episode?
Oh my goodness gracious. I am giving it a 4.85.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yes. I really enjoyed this episode on a scale of 1 to 5.
I think I'm going to give this like a 4.4 dram.
Oh, okay.
And it's not that it was bad. I think it did really well what it was supposed to do, which is just introduce us back to the show and get a feel for, you know, the frog and toad of it all.
Yes.
If you remember from
season one,
that's where we referred
we
to
feel
Sam
like this
and
is like
Sam
the frog
and
toad books.
They're frog and toad, totally.
Yeah.
So 4.4 is there. I think there are some things that we got to talk about that I think are worthy of discussion.
Great.
So,
fantastic.
What are your GBGs? You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
All right. So my good for this episode is when Sam calls Graham and they say, I actually miss you, mate.
Yeah.
It made me want to pick up my phone and call all of my friends who I miss. And
really?
I feel like we don't tell our friends enough that we miss them. We don't tell people enough in general. We love them. We miss them. We cherish them.
That's fair.
I think we take for granted, like, we're going to see them again. We're going to talk to them again. And sometimes you're not fortunate enough to have that. So friends, when you're done with this podcast episode, tell a friend you miss them.
Yes. Call them. I think it's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah, so that was my good. My bad was actually the clip you just played at the beginning where Graham and Sam are sitting at the end and they've got a dram and they've got some biscuits. And Graham says, I'm super impressed with the stuff you've brought with you. I'll try a square one now. Because I think he was supposed to be giving props to Sam's whiskey.
Yes.
I wonder if Sam had brought his Sassenach whiskey. And this was Graham saying, I'm super impressed with the stuff you brought with you, like from Scotland. You brought yes. all this stuff and here I am, including Sam's whiskey. Or I thought he was going to say, I'm super impressed with the stuff you brought with you. Oh, yes. These are shortbread biscuits from Scotland. Or I found a Scottish bakery here in New Zealand. Like, it just was so confusing. Like, I'm impressed with the stuff. Okay, then what is it, Graham?
Yeah.
Worst influencer ever. Where is your affiliate link? What are you impressed by?
What the is whiskey, it, Graham?
The square what? I'm assuming it's the cookie. Is it the glass jar you're impressed by? Because that was square-shaped maybe too. Oh, I don't know. Man. But I was tentative because I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a Sassenach whiskey.
That's
right
what
here.
I thought it was going to be.
Like, is this going to be a thing? And then when it just became the square thing, I'm like, okay, now he's talking about a biscuit, but I think there was a weird edit. But then why keep that in? Why say, I'm super impressed with the stuff you brought with you. I'll try a square one now. Why do we need any of that? Other than that, it was great. This was wonderful. Great way to kick it off. Mm-hmm. What are you excited about? Love it. Why do we need to talk about the stuff Sam brought if you're not going to tell me what the heck it was that he actually brought? Tell me. Whiskey, cookies, what?
Oh, man.
Peanut butter and Nutella on a spoon?
Sure.
Okay.
Definitely wasn't bread, I'll tell you that.
And then my great was I missed these men so much.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've been hanging out with Sam Heughan all season of Outlander, but there's some magic with Graham. He's got magic
agree.
With Krictuna Balf, but the two of them...
The two of them are very good.
Oh, my God.
Very, very good. I got to give them credit.
Even with the incessant voiceover that was meant to feel like it was in real time done, I forgave them because I just loved them. I love them. So, Blake, you're GBGs.
Barry, I am not as nice as you. I will say that in terms of...
We all know that.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Facts.
All right, my good first is... All right. I enjoyed like the intro a little bit. Some of it was very good, like when Graham's ringtone for Sam is actually the Sky Bullet song.
Yes.
I thought that was very funny. Like
agreed.
That is in on the joke humor, and that's my kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when he says, you know, Big Balls, whatever his name is.
Oh my God. I didn't catch that until my third time.
Really?
Oh, who is your character? Oh, my character was James Malcolm Big Balls, that redhead Big Balls Fraser. Yes, and you were Dougal McGrumpy.
Yes. So there's part of that intro
Did
and the whole
angry,
thing.
That's what it was. Big Balls.
Yeah.
I missed it. I was just so used to like, okay,
Big
James.
Balls, whatever his name
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Very good fun, like very funny.
Well done, Graham.
Like again, in on the joke humor. Yes. I like that. The bad though was the intro. It was so, and I imagine it was supposed to be, but it was so cheesy.
Which part of the intro?
The whole
I love?
Thing.
The
oh, whole
the
thing.
Whole like acted up Sam being alone in the bar,
yeah, like it was
missing his friend.
Yeah,
and, inspiring me to call my friends.
Yes.
Mm.
And like I
the
actually
doorknob.
I believe the sentiment of it.
Yeah.
And like the doorknob part was actually kind of funny.
Oh, yes.
It was actually kind of funny because like
because it's door porn. I want this magical like stained glass door that made me think maybe it's also on the set of Virgin River.
The door porn.
Oh, the door porn with the knob. Of course a hobbit would come to that door.
But I thought that was funny. But overall, the intro was just super cheesy and super, like obviously yeah. staged. And that to me does not appeal, you know, for the yeah. show. I don't think that's what I'm here for. I'm not here for that kind of cheesiness. Okay. I'm here to see the actual interactions between these two men,
mm-hmm.
right? And having said that, Mary, you forgave them for the bad ADR. and I cannot.
You know, it's funny because I don't think that it was this bad in the first season.
No.
I feel like they would take their conversations from the camper van and then over put pictures over it. But this, they tried to make it feel like they're talking in the camper van.
Yes.
And now here's some B-roll footage. But it is so clear that the voiceover is not taken from the camper van, that it's them from their audio booth tracks sounding like they recorded their second audiobook.
And even if it wasn't, even if the audio was in line with the audio that they had from the camper, because, you know, if you spent enough time on it, you could make it sound like that if you truly wanted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even in my own little studio, I could do that. However, the way that the script is written is nothing like how they were going back and forth. Like, the natural intonation of it. Like,
it was so starkly different.
It was so different, and it was so obviously scripted that it just, I can't.
It takes you out.
Well, it's, I don't care if it takes me out. It's just.
It took me out.
I can't enjoy it. Like, I know it's not real. Mm-hmm. I know it's scripted. I know they're in a booth. And, don't try to make me feel stupid.
It almost felt like they were in different booths, which probably, right? Because one's in Scotland, one's... And I feel like when they did VOs in season one, it sounded like they did it together. Like they were genuinely laughing at each other as they were commenting.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like here in a podcast. I didn't have the feeling that when they did the voiceovers that they were with each other. That it was, you read your line and we're going to edit in grams.
Right, right. So, yeah, it felt very much like the audiobook when they were doing it. Like, there's just no natural chemistry when you're reading in a booth. It is what it is, right?
Unless you're a Disney princess.
The thing here too is you can obviously tell that this season it is much more highly produced. You know, from the camera angles, the VO, the little cutaways. You know, for all the little maps they're showing and everything. Like they had that in season one. But it is no, like, you can tell that there's a bigger budget for season two.
Yes.
And that works to a good effect.
Or are things just cheaper in New Zealand?
That's true. Good point. But it also, I think, kind of detracts from the boots on the ground kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And like what I really loved, and I know I talked about this in season one for this show, was to me, this kind of experience is perfectly encapsulated by the, you know, the mockumentary or the documentary or the whatever scripted documentary called The Trip with, what's his name there? I can't remember their freaking names right now, but whatever. Now I got to look it up because it's going to piss me off if I don't.
Or Zac Efron doing all of his shows.
I didn't watch that. Oh, Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan. Like, I'm sure that there are people just screaming the names right now at the podcast. Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan. Like, two best friends who went on a trip and did the whole thing. It was perfect. And because it was all natural, boots on the ground. Like, whatever they said there, that's what they showed.
And honestly, I picture a lot of what they say to have been things that they probably did genuinely say to each other.
Yes.
But maybe in editing, they thought, oh, that takes too much time, or there was an extra sentence in. Let's just have them do a VO. Right. But it did feel a bit more extra edited and not, and then it took away a little bit of its...
Yeah. But my great, though, my great is I truly love watching these two guys interact. Like, just as they are, just busting each other's balls, having fun, and the sheer terror on Graham's face. Like, that's no joke.
Yes.
That's legitimate. When he is going down that zip line screaming, damn you, Hewitt! Like, that's real.
Yes.
And I cannot heap enough praise upon those interactions, especially when Sam sees it and like recognizes it and says, oh my God.
Yeah, I feel bad. I kind of feel bad for
this. I it's hard for me to take him at his word just because everything feels so salesy a lot of the time. But when he looks at the camera and says, I kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe him. And that is what the great was. That is what attracts me to this show.
I wouldn't say that Sam feels salesy. I think Sam is such a young little puppy in real life, and we're used to him being a more conservative, he's older Jamie Fraser now, and that's who we've gotten used to, is a bit more stoic Jamie Fraser. So when we see Sam being the little golden retriever puppy that he is in real life, oh, let's go this. Hey, yeah, I love, what is adrenaline to you? It evens me out. Oh, well, that's weird. Like, that is really Sam. And so I think that might be part of your issue, Blake. I wouldn't call it salesy. I'm just saying it's a different version.
Golden retriever puppy is a perfect analogy for Sam Ewing.
Yes. So when you
or
feel
metaphor,
that way,
whatever the hell it is,
remind yourself, no, this is
he's
Sam.
A golden retriever puppy.
He is.
and I like that. I like that they play into those roles. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a little hyperbolic.
Yes.
You know, a little bit. Like it's sped up for the cameras, if you will.
Yes.
But I do like the fact that there's probably some truth to that. And
probably mostly truthfully, yes.
And I can totally see it.
All right. So let's get into this episode. These episodes are short.
Yes, half hour.
Let's just call it 40,
whatever
it is.
But
I do love that it is a short episode where you could just put it on while you're making supper. You could put it on just to hear their delightful voices. It was fun to learn about New Zealand.
Yeah. And in particular, the Scottish influence on New Zealand. Like, that is something I definitely did not know. Like, 100% did not know.
Agreed.
I thought that was a really fun bit of information, and them talking about the amount of Scottish people.
20% are
crazy.
Scottish. And they say that there's, of course, a city there called Dunedin. And I just thought Dunedin probably was like a very common title for a city. That's how you say Edinburgh in Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dunedin. I've been to Dunedin, Florida.
Okay.
So when Graham said, oh, there's even a town here called Dunedin, I was like, there's probably towns everywhere called Dunedin. But I don't actually think there is. I think my brain just told me there was because I've been to Dunedin, Florida. So Dunedin, Florida is also a major Scottish influenced place in Florida.
So, of all places.
Of all places. And of course, I don't go to Florida a lot, but of course, I've somehow been to Dunedin, Florida, and like hung out there and done things there. And my mom's gone to the like Highland events there. And remember how she sent us pictures of everybody with bagpipes and kilts?
Yes.
And here's my brain being like, of course, that's everywhere. No, Mary, it's not. It's not. So Dunedin, New Zealand. Talking about like there was a little bits here or there where Sam, I'm like, come on, Sam, like when he was like, oh, it's not just one island, like we don't need you to pretend to be dumb, sweet golden retriever. No
Yeah. And like that's
he see, could but, have said, how many islands are there anyway, you know?
Well, that's the thing again, that's the thing that kind of like when I say salesy, I don't mean,
I would just say fake or like too acted.
Yes. Okay.
Because I think salesy makes me think he's trying to sell Assassin.
Well,
whiskey.
He is.
But
he is.
No, like in this show, I just think, Sam, you're not that dumb.
Yes.
And even if there are people on this world who don't know much about New Zealand and didn't know that it was a combination of islands, you could have just said, how many islands are they? Versus it's,
wait, what, it's only
just
one.
Because like, we know you, Sam. You flew over it. Like,
I know.
You've done research for this. So don't fake. Yeah, or then he would say, are there hobbits here? But
I mean, I don't mind
like
that because like
busting.
That's busting balls.
Yes, exactly.
I don't
exactly.
mind that. I think that's okay. But you're right, Mary. That's another thing that I think.
It was moments like that where I shook my head and I said, too much, Sam,
on.
Too much. I love you, but come on, I love you.
Yeah.
However, I did love all of the replay moments from season one of Graham, remember?
Yeah.
When Sam's like, weren't those great times, Graham? And Graham's like, yeah, great times. And it shows all the things that made him laugh. You and I both audibly laughed.
Yes, totally agree.
Watching Graham be jumped out by that person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the different things. Oh, my goodness gracious. So great.
Awesome. I totally agree with you, Mary. Again, it's the genuine moments when you look back and you're like, oh my God, I remember that. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was legitimately funny.
So the first thing they do is they go on these zip lines.
Yes.
With the bungee jump.
Would not be caught dead doing that if you paid me $1 million. Wouldn't do it.
Blake and I frequently feel like we are Sam and Graham. Mm-hmm. And Blake is obviously the Graham and I'm the Sam. And it's funny because I feel like I would do these to you. I would be like, here we go. And then the zip line operators were amazing. They're yes. like, okay, so it was invented because this guy came back. He did all these different things. It's 100 meters high, the first one. And Sam goes, ooh, 100 meters. And he like turns to Graham. How do you feel about that?
And the look that Graham gives yeah. is just great.
My favorite moment of this wasn't the damn you, human, and yeah. you know, Sam being like, well, I kind of feel bad, but it was actually when Graham is telling Sam to stop. Please stop. Please stop. And the zipline guy thinks that Graham is reprimanding yes! him. And he's like, what? You want me to stop?
He's like, no, I'm talking to that guy.
Because at first, it's Sam just busting, and Graham's like, stop. But then he keeps doing it. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop.
And this poor guy for the zipline is like, oh my God, this act is telling me to stop. What do I do?
Stars already paid me. Like, yeah. I'm supposed to send the crappy guy first. That's in my contract. Oh my gosh.
And then the guy kind of gives it to him a little bit, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, listen, I got to know who you're talking to. Otherwise, I'm going to do stuff that you don't want me to do. Like,
there was a sign said Flying Scots, and I didn't know if that was actually the name of this bungee jump tour company or if it was just a sign. Like, I didn't know if like that was for some of the people who have Scottish heritage who run it, or if actually it was called the Flying Scots. I almost feel like I don't know. You know when you watched, we haven't watched it in years, but you know when we would watch The Real Housewives of New York?
Oh, how could I ever forget?
And they'd have one of their million. They'd have one of their million lunch dates.
Yes.
And they would always pan and show the name of the restaurant they yes. were walking into.
Well, obviously, they paid for it.
Yeah. So I find it interesting. Not bad. I just find it interesting that with these places, we're not necessarily given the name in case people did want to go back. Like, what sure. was the tour company that did the helicopter ride up to the top of the glacier? Like, if yeah, people you know? Wanted to do that, if people wanted to do this exact zip line, is it the Flying Scott sign, or was that just like a sign somebody made and the editors thought it was a cool sign? So that's one thing that I feel like I would like to know.
Interesting.
And maybe they weren't, maybe that was part of the contract that it wasn't like paid enough. And I don't know, but I find it, you know what I mean?
No, I know 100% what you mean. And now looking back on it, Mary, you know, considering how these kinds of shows
they're
are made.
They're wearing logos on their shirts. It's yeah. just I didn't zoom in.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is, considering how these kinds of shows are made, yeah. like in particular, you know, like Real Housewives or whatever. Yeah. I mean, people pay to get on these things. You pay to play.
Yeah.
It's surprising that they're... I didn't think about it at the time, but now that you bring it up, I'm looking at it going, wait, how the hell did that even happen?
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny that that is like that, because now I feel as though it's just become part of our... like television viewing experience
that we are and numb even, to it and we yeah. don't notice it,
right? And even our movie viewing experience, right?
But it actually made me like the show a bit more, because I'm thinking, okay, this is authentic, where it isn't just a big sales pitch for all these places.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know, I just thought it was an interesting thing. And then of course after that they do the great white shark diving, same thing. We're not necessarily like hit over the head
yeah.
with this is the tour company that they went with for their great white shark diving.
I'm gonna tell you something about the shark stuff. I was let down by it.
You know what it is?
It ain't Shark Week.
Because I... Yes!
It ain't Shark Week.
Okay, so...
Sorry.
So here's a scoop, Poops. Our family treats Shark Week like a holy week, okay? It is a holiday week in the Larson family. We have decorations.
Oh,
we wear
yeah.
T-shirts. We go and get the special Shark Week slushy at Sonic.
Hashtag
which
not
is
a sponsor.
Blue raspberry with chopped up strawberries on top. To represent
it's like an
blood.
Everyday occurrence. We go to Sonic and get the Shark Week drink.
With a gummy shark on top. So we watch a lot of Shark Week, not necessarily for all of the gory incidents, but more about researching the sharks. It's a lot of cage diving. We've seen like lots and lots of it. And then also, we live in Rhode Island,
yes.
which for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you because our state is super tiny, we live in the tiniest state in America, mm-hmm. in the United States. And
we're small, but we're mighty.
We are. And we are also known as the Ocean State. That is our nickname.
Yep.
We have one of the most diverse shark populations off of our coast just because of the way shark populations.
There you go.
a significant amount of great white sharks are between our waters in Massachusetts, which is basically our next door neighbor,
which is
Cape Cod.
I was going to say a stand-in for Martha's Vineyard, a stand-in for Amity Island and Jaws.
Yeah, so Jaws. So Jaws took place basically in our backyard, okay?
Yes.
Like when you watch that, hi, welcome to our life.
Yes.
so it is not uncommon for us to have shark sightings in the summer. This is another big time we have a lot of shark sightings.
When Mary has the shark app on her watch.
I love my shark app. Yes.
But you had to take it off because there were so many sharks.
It was too many in July. So we are...
I'm going to say we're shark aficionados.
I was going to say we're like shark experts.
Yeah, we're just about there.
We have not gone shark diving. We have not gone on shark sightings.
Yeah.
But we have seen a lot of it. Yeah. So this was JV shark diving.
Very JV. I would say freshman team.
But here's what I'll say. I don't know Sam and Graham's level of wearing scuba gear. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know, you know, like there's probably with the great whites that they have out there, they probably have a bit more significant great white shark ships.
Yep.
They probably have access to great white shark and just shark exploration camera.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's it, too. We're used to seeing top-notch camera work where these people are used to filming in cage situations, whereas I feel like the ship that they went out on is just an experiential ship, and they were like, let's see what we got with waterproof GoPros.
Yeah, yeah, they got the GoPros, and but, like, yes, I think the overall... Listen, when you're basically the Hooper from Jaws, okay, when, like, you're the guy that is the expert in sharks, then... Yeah, I think your expectations are going to be let down.
So we had Shark Week expectations, but I will say the reactions that Graham and Sam had, I found super authentic. I thought if you and I were in a similar shark cage, I'd be tapping you. Oh my God, look, did you see Sam like sign language shark? He like smacks Graham and does like this little shark thing. I felt like it was normal and authentic that if someone was in the water in a scuba outfit, seeing a great white shark, they would be like, wow, that was a really incredible experience. I feel like you and I are desensitized because we're so spoiled because of our shark coverage that to us, we were like, meh, that wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, maybe we're more Quint than Hoopa then.
My favorite part, however, was when Sam and Graham are doing their voiceover work, looking at the previous shark cage footage.
Yes.
And that one shark came in through the cage.
Yeah.
And Graham's going, what's going on? Why is that one in the cage? What is going on?
So I will say that the event of the shark and the whole thing and what they were filming was not very interesting.
Correct. Same is what I want to say.
But you're right, Mary. For non-shark week people, for non-nerds, I'm sure that it was very good.
Yes.
And you're right, Mary, the genuine interaction between the two, especially when he's like, when Graham says, you know, I've thought about my worst week ever. And I think you've just described it. Him going into these tanks and everything. Like, yes. Okay. I can imagine him saying that. And that feels real.
Perfect. He says, when do we just start? When do we start to just sit in armchairs and just read books? And I put, once again, this is Blake and I.
100%. When Graham said that, I said, that is my life. That is exactly where I just want to sit in an armchair and read a book.
Yep.
That's funny.
Then we get a really cool experience, which I enjoyed this one, I think, the best in regards to learning about New Zealand, the helicopter ride that they did in their kilts.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that choice and outfit, by the way. You can't have a men in kilt show without these guys being in kilts at some point. Obviously, you could, but you can't really wear a kilt ziplining.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable, a little nerve-wracking, nor scuba diving. So this is the only kilted activity they could do.
Yes.
But for us to learn about this amazing environment that allows the luscious jungle and then has the glacier and the snow-capped mountains, I had no idea. I had no idea that something like that existed
totally
in
agree.
New Zealand.
Totally agree.
So to me, that was authentically New Zealand versus the other ones being like, you could be bungee jumping, zip lining in lots of other places. Mm-hmm. This is just more to scare Graham. And then the shark thing, I've been desensitized because I've OD'd on Shark Week. So But I also know that there are a ton of great white sharks around New Zealand, so I appreciate that. But to me, this was, wow, how cool and unique to New Zealand.
Yeah, and especially, and this is a real nerd moment for you, when they overlaid, you know, the Hobbit film on top of the, you know, the film that they had from the, you know, when they were filming the show.
Yes.
It was interesting to see what the Hobbit captured in comparison to what the real life was, how it was designed out. But another thing that really stood out to me too was the lighting of and the color treatment that the Hobbit had, right? In comparison to a real life shot.
Okay.
The color treatment of the Hobbit film, you know, you when you're watching something and it's just native to the film, you don't really recognize the tinting of it, or you don't recognize the treatment. But when you put the two next to each other, you can see that there's a real golden hue to the Hobbit, and that was obviously done on purpose, and how they try to make that landscape more vibrant and real and lifelike, as opposed to just capturing it just, you know, in the raw, right? I don't know why that stood out to me. Like, wow, that is the beauty and the art and the science of filmmaking. How you can take this one thing, change a few things, and make it look like this grand landscape, even more than what it already is. It really spectacular stuff.
Agreed.
And of course, we did have the inclusion of some Outlander footage as well.
Oh my
gosh. In case you forget.
Yes.
Just in case you forget where you come from and why they're here. Do you think that, Mary, it is still necessary for them to include Outlander footage the way that they did in season one?
I do, because it made me smile. It made me smile to see all the clips they chose with their banter of the big balls and the McAngry while they're saying it. I think it's also great because there are people who are casual Outlander viewers who are going to stumble across this show. Mm-hmm. And this is good for them to be reminded of all the things that did happen between Jamie and Dougal.
Yes.
So I loved it.
It's interesting. I wonder if there is something that they have to include Outlander footage.
I don't think they'll need it going forward. But yeah, I mean, in the initial episode, I think they would have to. I think to really say this is, because they say this is how we met. Because once again, this is a show for everybody on Star. So someone could say, Men in Kilts, what is that? And they not watch Outlander.
It's true.
And then they get the context. We met on the set of Outlander. And then it shows the little things and they get to see, okay, it's a timely piece. You know, it takes place in the past. And he was my uncle. And then you get to see they're fighting. And I think it's important, not only for us as viewers to get a nice little nostalgic smile, but for people who stumble upon this precious half-hour show.
Yes. All right. Fair enough. We have officially spoken longer than what the show actually ran for, Mary.
Congratulations.
So is there anything that you would like to say that would help illuminate the show anymore, or your experience with the show, or anything like of that nature?
No. I just wonder, as like, are the cookies from WeBox? That's what I want to know.
What was that cookie that we had that I really liked? It was the one that was like kind of spicy.
It was from the Loch Ness Bakery.
Yes.
It was a ginger cookie, I think.
Speaking of that, did you see that there's a whole new investigation happening, like as we speak, at the Loch right now?
I was talking about this with some mom friends and they did not believe me. And this is after I told them about the newly found dinosaur footprints in Texas, which they're nicknaming the Ballroom. And then I went from there to the new scientific study that something of this magnitude hasn't happened in decades in Loch Ness, and they didn't believe me. They're like, Mary, nothing's there. And I'm like, I'm not saying something's there. I'm saying that the scientific study of this magnitude hasn't happened in a very long time, and it's very exciting. And they're saying maybe it's not a dinosaur, maybe it's not an alien, maybe it's a giant eel, but like even that would be so cool. Where's your sense of adventure? Sam would be into it. Sam would be so into this.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He would
Sam
totally.
I know, my golden retriever,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, your golden retriever, Sam. Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Graham would be like, just let it be.
Yeah, just let it live.
Just don't, if there's anything down there, I don't want to know.
Right now, it's just sitting in a chair reading a book. Let it do what's
there. Just in my Hobbit house, which, how precious, because I really do think that was probably his real house.
I bet that it was, yeah.
And honestly, Like, what a precious spot. What a cute doorknob. What a beautiful stainless, stained glass.
Yeah, there you go.
Door.
Stainless glass would be regular glass. Weird.
Yeah. His regular door.
You know, Mary, as you know, I am not one for living outside of Massachusetts in Rhode Island at all. Like, I don't, I can't even live in Connecticut. I can't live
Blake.
I definitely can't live in Connecticut.
You definitely can't live in New York City.
There is no chance I could live in New York City.
I can. Every time we go, Blake's like, you're supposed to be here. And I'm like, I know.
I get one day in New York City. I get one day. Usually it's like 8 hours. And then I'm like, get me out of this friggin' place as fast as you can.
Oh, everyone beeping and stuff.
Oh.
Or if someone bumps into you.
Oh, God.
Fun little takeaway. Blake couldn't order a slice of pizza in New York. He got so
I was ruffled. So upset. I was so upset. The guy, I'm waiting my turn. I'm there.
There's no exact line. Okay?
There's no line.
It's just a mob of people wanting to get a slice. You say what kind you want, and you move to the right.
It was like the pizza
That's what
Nazi.
You're supposed to do. Yes. And so there was no soup for you.
Yeah. No pizza for me. I was waiting in line patiently. I got some guy rubbing up on me.
There's no line, though, and that's what you were nervous
about.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm waiting in some nebulous line that I don't know who's next, where I'm going. There's no order.
And then the guy actually points at Blake, and he says, what do you want? And Blake stammered because it was Funny's turn.
I was shocked.
He missed it, so the guy didn't hear Blake say anything, so he moved on.
He's like, all right, yeah, get it together. Next one. I'm like, hey! It was me. Where's my pizza?
Yep.
Like I was
so
upset.
I did it. I know you were.
I was so upset. I couldn't handle it.
Luckily, that was pre-kids.
Thank God that was pre-kids.
I know.
Thank God. Would have left. Wouldn't have got pizza.
I would have taught them how to do it. I actually know the last time we got pizza, I took the kids.
You did.
And I showed them how to do it.
Freaking pizza.
They were
guy.
Fine. They were fine.
They were great.
Pizza.
They were great.
They know how to roll.
It's because our little lass wants to live in New York when she grows up. Her famous line right now is that she wants to live in New York and be rich.
Yes.
And I say, good luck.
Yes.
I hope that for you, my little love.
Amen.
All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
I am.
All right. Let's do it.
At the New Hampshire Highland Games.
Yes.
The middle of September. I think it's the 15th through 17th. We're really excited. So if you live in the New England area and you are going, send us a message. Email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. We'll try to meet up. We do not have an official meetup. We don't have an official day. We're going with our kids. We're hard to miss. I actually bought our kids Outlander Cast shirts, so they will wear those one day.
Oh, you know what I realized?
No.
I realized I didn't pay off didn't pay off the point of what I was saying about living in elsewhere. I got too thrown off by the pizza guy again. Oh. Looking at New Zealand,
okay.
I feel like I might be able to live there.
Oh.
It was beautiful.
It was, Blake.
And it was like the whole time thing would screw me up, like
what
eventually.
Time?
Well, like I would have to go from Eastern time to whatever time that is.
That's just the exact opposite of us.
Yeah, but whatever. Like I would get all thrown off. And I'm sure that there would be things that I would be freaked out about. But, like, I feel like I could go there for at least a good amount of time, beyond 8 hours in New York.
Wow, I'm proud of you, Blake. You're so cultural.
Well, like, New Zealand is always kind of like that. I always...
All you know is that there's a city named Dunedin. You know that 20% of the people are Scottish. You know that there's zip lining, which you hate. You know there's shark diving, which you hate. You know that there's a helicopter ride to the top of a glacier, which you wouldn't do. And yeah. You know that Sam Heughan brings mysterious treats.
I also know that the pro wrestling tag team, the Bushwhackers, are from New Zealand.
Wow.
Well, they were, at least. I don't know if they're still alive.
Wow.
So anytime I saw the Bushwhackers, I thought that was New Zealand. That's how you knew you were a kid in the 80s, ladies and gents. So looking at watching the Bushwhackers.
In addition to the New Hampshire Highland Games, we have an event in Rhode Island with the St. Andrew Society taking place October 22nd. It is the 100th anniversary celebration. It's going to be a really fun event. I'm the MC for it. You can learn more by Googling the Rhode Island St. Andrew Society. And if you're coming, let us know. Once again, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, friends who are members at jointhenerdclan.com. Friends, if you've been listening through Outlander season and now Men in Kilts, and we bring some lumos to your knock, some light to your dark, some joy in your days, you can become a member for as little as $2 a month. This is a mom and pop podcast shop. We are not supported by like major media conglomerates. We do this because it is a passion project of ours to bring joy to other friends around the world. So if you are already a member, know that from the bottom of our hearts, we are ever so grateful for you and your patronage. And if you're not yet a member and you'd like to, it's less than a cup of coffee once a month. And it
we
really
got a goal
a
too.
Difference.
We got a big goal. If we get 1,000 members there, no matter when or what, whatever's happening, when we get 1,000 members, I'm going to start the new drums.
We are 10 people away.
No,
ten,
we're not.
Swear to God, it says 950.
No, right 1,000 now. Members. We're 50 people away.
Oh. Math,
Mary. This is why we do not do math in live time.
Oh, man.
Don't do math on the air.
50 people away. Thanks. Wow. That was embarrassing.
We're 10 people away.
We're 10.
Oh, those
I saw the 9 and my brain went to 9.
That was Warwick Schools showing through.
I taught math. I wasn't supposed to, but I did.
Oh, yeah. Right, we're friends. 10 people away. We're going to get over there.
You better get your book, Blake. Get your highlighter.
Get your highlighter, because those 10 people are going to come.
Well, 10 may come, and then another 10.
And then another 10.
Another 10. Another 10. There we go. But Blake will begin reading.
Yeah, whenever it happens, right then and there, that next day, I'm going to start chapter one of, is it Drums?
Yes.
It's Drums, yeah.
We've talked about this already.
Well, I forget. I got a million things going in my brain.
Do you also think New Zealand is more than one island?
I'm too busy thinking about the Bushwhackers and Shark Week right now.
Obviously. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.